This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله. I'm speaking to an empty masjid. This is post Jumu'ah, this lecture. SubhanAllah, I was on my way to the masjid and there was a major accident on the way, and I make dua that no one was injured or harmed, but SubhanAllah, it was a serious accident. It was so bad that I was unable to reach Jumu'ah on time. Alhamdulillah, a few brothers allowed me to do the second Jumu'ah here, and this is the English lecture, the post Jumu'ah English lecture, and this is for those who are following on WhatsApp or on YouTube. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. So we continue with our series, Dream Crafting. And as we mentioned that this Ramadan, we're trying to enhance our du'as and maybe inculcate certain habits that we can take with us for the future. Remember, the objective of Ramadan is not to do, you know, a huge amount of ibadah once off and it ends. And yes, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan come, we are going to push ourselves to our limit. But that's not sustainable. The reality is we'll never be able to wake up for 3, 4, 5 hours of tahajjud. For those of SubhanAllah who can do that, you can maybe do it the last 10 nights, but throughout the year, it becomes very, very difficult. So the objective of Ramadan is to inculcate certain habits that will stay with you for the rest of your life. And so inshallah, we're going to talk about certain life-changing hacks, life-changing habits that you can put in, and subhanAllah, hopefully it will stay with you forever. The first thing is just a reminder that from next week, Wednesday, the odd nights of Ramadan will begin. These 5 odd nights are the highlight of our year. There's nothing bigger than that, than these 5 odd nights, because on that night, one of those 5 should be, inshallah, would be Laylatul Qadr. And whoever captures Laylatul Qadr, your entire life will be fixed. All your sins will be forgiven, and the reward of 1,000 months, meaning a reward of a lifetime, will be given. So, one of those odd nights, inshallah, and we should basically try our best, subhanAllah, to make the most of those odd nights. And the best thing you can do is to perform salah, and if those who are unable to perform salah, as much salah as you can, for those who can't perform salah, like our sisters who are in the hayd, they shouldn't feel bad. Any time, just stay in ibadah, make dua, and then inshallah that would be for you. So remember, Ramadan is a multiplier, and the ulama have mentioned that doing any deed in the month of Ramadan is multiplied exponentially. It is multiplied exponentially. The one who fasts one day in Ramadan is better than fasting 1,000 days or fasting a lifetime. But think about that. If you fasted every single day of your life from now until the day you die, it will not equal one day of Ramadan fasting. And therefore, any tasbih, tahleel, any dhikr, any Quran recitation, 1 rand given in charity, the reward is multiplied so much in this month of Ramadan that it will not equal even if you spent a fortune. We even mentioned, subhanAllah, that the death of the shaheed is eclipsed by the reward of Ramadan. And so, subhanAllah, how amazing it is to do good deeds, and we have basically got half the month to go. So, we're going back to dua. How do you enhance your dua? There are certain special times that you can make dua. The one of the most mustajab times, the one of the times which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as, is in the farad salah before you take your taslim. So you sat down for your tashahud, you did your tashahud, just before assalamu alaikum, at that crucial moment, at the end of the salah, you can ask whatever it is. Yes, it is best in this case to do it in Arabic, because in salah we try to speak Arabic, and so you make one of the du'as which are mentioned in the sunnah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, for example, all encompassing du'a. In sujood, we know the Nabi says that the person is closest to Allah when he's in his sajida, and between the adhan and the iqamah. So for those, mashallah, who come to the masjid early, or at home, for example, you don't have to even be in the masjid, but before the adhan goes off, you already have your wudu, you wait for the adhan, and then you sit between the adhan and the iqamah. That time is when du'as are accepted. That time is when du'as are accepted. While a person is fasting, and of course, just before he breaks his fast, just before you break your fast, this time, inshallah, no du'as are rejected at the time of iftar. And so take that 5-10 minutes before you break your fast to make the du'as of your heart. And then a special hour on Jumu'ah. And so subhanAllah, if you look at the last hour, most people say the last hour of Jumu'ah, besides either the waqt of Jumu'ah or the last hour of Jumu'ah. So today is a Friday. That in Ramadan, everything is multiplied. And on Fridays, everything is multiplied. Even to die on Friday is a blessing. And to be fasting on that Friday, and then to be waiting to break your fast in that hour when du'as are not accepted. We only have about five Jumu'ahs in Ramadan. We basically have a few of them left. So make the most of this Friday to get as much of your du'as and your rewards accepted. Ameen. So these are the times that make du'a accepted. Then there are certain things to enhance your du'a. And I think we spoke about some of these things, about praising Allah and using the appropriate name. So think about the du'a that you want and think about the corresponding name of Allah, of His Asma'ul Husna, and then call upon Him on that name. Ya Razak, give me rizq. Ya Mujib, ya Wadud, O Most Loving, put love in my marriage. My marriage is falling apart. Ya Wadud, please grant us of your love. And then you, subhanAllah, and we'll talk about this, that part of the du'a, the way that you make du'a, is you mention your good deeds that you have done for Allah's sake. It's not that you're doing a trade, but if you find the way the Anbiya and the scholars or the pious people make du'a, they would say, Ya Allah, I have done this for you. I have submitted myself to you. It is lak alhamd, for you is the praise, and for you I do all these things. So please, Ya Allah, I submit to you. There is none worthy of worship but you. And then you make your du'a. You almost make a tawassul with your du'a. And we'll talk about this in our next story. And we said making du'a for others and making salawat on the Nabi enhances your du'a. There's a very, very interesting hadith, which is we all know about the three people in the cave. So three people came to the cave and they spent some time in there. And then there was a landslide or a rock slide, and the cave completely got closed and they were stuck in there. And as time went on, they became worried, look, we're going to die. There's no way out. So our only hope is to make dua. And each one said, we will make our own sincere dua to Allah. We will all make this dua. And it's important to look at how they made dua. One of them said, all right, the only way for deliverance left is to make dua to Allah and in the name of, and to mention to Allah, Ya Allah, I did some good deed. So please, if you accepted that deed, then help me in this situation. And thereupon each one had to make their own dua. The one said, oh my Lord, my parents were very old. I used to offer them their nightly drink of milk before, and I used to make sure that they ate first before my family, before my children, and the other members of my family. And so he would always make sure his parents ate first. Then one day I went, I was away and I came home late. And when I came back, I found that my parents were asleep. So he always made sure my parents eat first, then my kids. So when he came back, the parents were sleeping already and he hadn't given them the supper. And so while I had the milk, I had milked the animals and I brought them their drink, they were asleep, but I did not want to distribute it to my family members until my parents had their fill, while my kids were crying and my family was in need. Not they weren't starving to death, but just out of his ikram of his parents. He said, I waited until they woke up basically, and then I gave my parents and then I gave my family. While the children cried of hunger at my feet, when they woke up, they had their drink. And so he says, oh Allah. Now this is the part of the dua. You make the deed. You say, oh Allah, if I did this thing only for your pleasure, I did this thing, there's no reason why I did it except that I wanted to seek your pleasure. I wanted to honor my parents for your pleasure. Then do relieve us of this distress that this rock. So now, Ya Allah, you assist me. Thereupon, and then the rock moved a little bit. But it only moved so much that nobody could get out of the situation. So then the second man made a dua. And he says, oh Allah, I had a cousin whom I loved very, very deeply and passionately. He had a lady, a female cousin, and he wanted to be with her. And he constantly tried to approach her. He constantly tried to tried to seduce her, and she continuously rejected him. And years would go on, and he was madly in love with this woman. And then eventually this lady fell under some hard, difficult times, and she, you know, couldn't make ends meet. So she came to him and said, look, if you can help me out, I will give you whatever you want. And he said, okay, deal. And he gave her what she wanted. And then he said, now come, it's your turn. And they were in the moment just about to commit zina. He was between her thighs basically, and just before he was about to do it, she said, like, you know, don't do this. She obviously didn't want to do this. She was out of desperation. And she then said that she pleaded, be scared of Allah and do not break my virginity unlawfully. And at that moment, you know, he had his conscience kicked in, whereupon he said, I moved away from her. Despite the fact that I desired her the most passionately, this lady I loved so much, this is what I've been dreaming about. And in that moment, when she said, fear Allah, and nothing could stop me, I basically walked away. And so he said, and I let her keep the money I had given her. I didn't tell her, give me back the money, and I let her go. And so then he says, oh Allah, if I did this thing seeking only your pleasure, the only reason I stopped was because I thought of you, Ya Allah, then please help me in this situation. And that, so, point number one, the first man made dua out of his love and his honor for his parents. The second one, out of a sin that he stood away from. So maybe there was a time when you could have committed a sin and you said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. And subhanAllah, the whole day during Ramadan, you're passing by all these restaurants, all these things to eat. Ya Allah, the only reason I didn't have a sip of water or had something to eat was because of my my devotion to you. And again, the rock moved a little bit. And then the last man said, and again, we summarize quickly. He said, I had a servant that worked for me. And when he did his job finished, I wanted to pay him his wages. But then the man disappeared. And so I had the money of this guy and he was standing there. And then I took this money and I started to do business with it. And that money grew. I bought animals and those animals procreated. And then this little money became a fortune. Became a huge fortune. You know, he did some good investment. And then this man came back like many, many years later. And he said, you still owe me my salary of that time. So the man said, you know what? Everything you see here is your salary. So the man says, are you making jokes of me? So he said, no, I took your money and invested it. But actually, it wasn't my money. It was your money. And so the man said, look, you can take what you want. And the man says, subhanAllah, this worker, he took everything. He didn't leave one cent behind for me. He actually took everything and he left. And so the man who was honest, he says, Ya Allah, I only did this. So he says, the man took everything, not sparing anything for me. Oh Allah, if I did this thing only for your pleasure, why? Because no one knew. No one knew. He didn't have to disclose it. He could have just given the man his 10 rand. But he said, look, all of this is yours. A fortune. Who of us would have done this? And so he says, Ya Allah, in this situation, please help me. And the rock moved a little bit. And then all of them could exit. So much fawa'id about the good deeds you do. So mention your good deeds to Allah. Say to Allah, I did this thing for your sake, purely for your sake. By your mercy, you allowed me to do it. And also what's beautiful in here, not explicitly mentioned, sometimes the situation is so big that my sincere dua is not going to be enough. I need the dua of my brothers as well and sisters to make dua. So sometimes it requires the collective dua, the collective sincere dua for things to change. So issues like Palestine or whatever it might be, it requires all of us to make dua collectively. So now we're going to talk about certain life-changing, simple deeds, and we call it shortcuts to Jannah. And I encourage for those of you, usually very few people actually read the slides, they just listen to the audio, but I think this time it's important. Take the PDF, look at it, and choose one or two of these life-changing, simple deeds that give massive reward. So, number one, the easiest reward, subhanAllah, is to have a sincere niyyah. As we know, that a niyyah, just an intention, can make a mundane task an act of ibadah. Before you go to sleep at night, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours of sleeping, there's no reward or punishment. But just before you sleep, you say, Ya Allah, I'm sleeping because I need to give the haqq of my body so that I may be refreshed for your sake. Ya Allah, I'm going to work, I'm going to sit in traffic and doing all this difficulty. Why am I doing it? So that I can feed my family and support and to honor my commitments. Now sitting in traffic, now sitting 8 hours of work, sitting at the desk for 8 hours, going to school, all of this becomes an act of worship. You might make the niyyah, Ya Allah, I want to be Hafidhul Quran, I want to be a haji. And you are sincere when you make that dua, even if you don't get this, subhanAllah, on Qiyamah, you get the reward for it. So it's a freebie that Allah is giving you. Just make that sincere promise to Allah, Ya Allah, if you allow me, I would want to be Hafidhul Quran. If you allow me, I would do whatever, I would build masjids if you to give me rizq. And then those rewards are for you. 10 seconds to Jannah. Look at this, subhanAllah, such an easy thing. 10 seconds and you can guarantee your Jannah. The Nabi says, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi immediately after the Fard Salah. So 5 times a day. At the end of every Salah, don't jump up and run away. Don't take your phone out. Recite Ayatul Kursi. There will be nothing between him and Jannah except his death. The person who does this, so do this habit. Don't take all these things. Take one and say, this is the one I'm going to do. I'm not going to let a single walk go by except I'll recite Ayatul Kursi, and your place in Jannah, inshallah, is guaranteed. The Nabi says, whoever makes salawat upon me, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just doing that, that's what, 2-3 seconds, then Allah sends salawat on you 10 times. Not the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah makes salawat on you. Allah mentions your name 10 times, and Allah removes 10 sins, and He raises you up 10 darajat. 10 darajat doesn't mean He gives you 10 rewards. It means, so as we know in Jannah there are levels. There's the bishop labors of Jannah and there's the bishop court of Jannah. Allah raises you up a suburb, 10 suburbs, every time you make salawat on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Being led to Jannah. Look at this beautiful hadith. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever enters the morning, whoever starts his day, saying, Raditu billahi rabba, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, wa bil islami deena, and I am pleased with Islam as my religion, wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya wa rasoola, and I am pleased with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as my Nabi. Then, what do you get for that? Again, 2-3 seconds. What do you get in return? Whoever does this daily, then the Nabi says, I am your guarantor. I promise you, I will take you by the hand on the day of Qiyamah and I will walk you into Jannah, subhanAllah. I will take you by your other hand and enter you into Jannah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Perhaps the best dhikr one can possibly make, so if you're sitting in traffic or you've got some, and it doesn't take you more than 10 minutes to do this, this is perhaps the best dhikr you can make each day. It is the dhikr of the day of Arafah. When Aisha asked the Nabi Sallam, what can I say on the day of Arafah? The Nabi says, this dua, this dhikr, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, la wal mulku wal hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Or you can add, yuhi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha, there's none worthy of worship besides Allah, the one, the only, the unique, the one who controls all of creation. Lahul mulk, to him belongs all of creation. Wa lahul hamd, and all the praises for him. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, and he has power over all things. Whoever says this 100 times a day, then what do you get your reward? You'll get the reward of freeing 10 slaves. Side note, what is the reward of freeing 10 slaves? The freeing of one slave is a guarantee, get out of jail free, card in Jahannam. So people will go to Jahannam, meaning they have a bad life. But if they freed a slave, it will be one body substituted for one. By saying this, you get 10 slaves that you have been freed. And 100 good deeds will be recorded on you. And 100 sins will be erased from you. And you will be guarded that day from all evil harms until the evening. And no one can beat you. And that means there's no one that can do a better deed than you, except one who recites this more than 100 times. And similarly, the one who recites it at night, he gets protected. So many things in this one dhikr. Another simple way to Jannah, the Nabi says, there are two easy things, two freebies, that no Muslim man does those things, but he will enter Jannah in a very simple and easy way. In fact, the Nabi is saying, this is an easy way to get to Jannah, but most people neglect it. What is this? He said, you should say Subhanallah 10 times after each Salah, and Alhamdulillah 10 times after each Salah, and Allahu Akbar 10 times after each Salah. And the Nabi says, counting on his fingers, he said, that makes it 150 on the tongue. Right? So it is multiplied 50 times, and so therefore it is 150. And 1,500 times on the scale, right? And similarly, we know that so whoever makes these pujis, we call it 10 times or 30 times, or before you go to sleep, the Nabi says, whoever makes the pujis after Salah and before you go to sleep, 30 times Subhanallah, 30 times Alhamdulillah, 30 times Allahu Akbar, then, or 33 times, then all your sins are forgiven, even if it is like the foam of the sea. All his sins are forgiven. Whoever glorifies, right? All your sins are forgiven. The Nabi Sallam also says that a person who recites a certain dhikr, each of the following three types of people have a guaranteed protection from Allah. Allah gives them a guarantee. Three types of people. Who are these three people? That if he lives, he is taken care of. And if he dies, he'll enter Jannah. He gets a promise from Allah. Who are these three people? The one who enters his house with saying Assalamu alaikum to his family. Very simple and easy. The others are a bit more difficult. The one who goes to the masjid regularly, and the one who goes out fi sabilillah, fighting jihad. Now the jihad part is difficult. Going to the masjid for every waqt is difficult. But to come home after work and say Assalamu alaikum to my wife, my kids, my parents, to be take a guarantee that if you live, Allah will protect you, and if you die, you get to Jannah. Simple, simple one. Sayyidul istighfar. Istighfar obviously is that type of dua where you ask Allah to repent for your sins. Ya Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me. But there's a special dua called the Sayyid, the leader of all the istighfar, the leader of all the du'as of forgiveness. How does that dua go? Oh Allah, you, Allahumma anta rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. Khalaqtani, you created me. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa anta. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. There's none worthy of worship but you. Anta khalaqtani, that you created me. Wa ana abduka, and I am your slave. Wa ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu, and I am upon, as best I can, as best I can, ya Allah, I'm trying to fulfill my duty and my covenant to a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu. Oh Allah, I confess all my sins to you that I've done, and I ask your protection. I make no excuses for my sins. All my sins, ya Allah. I don't make any excuses, but I don't confess to anyone. I confess them to you. And I make mention of your favor upon me, ya Allah. I acknowledge the good that you've given me. All that I have is because of you. Oh Allah, so please forgive me. I have come to you confessing my sins, so forgive me. So none forgives the sins except you. So maybe none of us have memorized the dua. Maybe take this as your Ramadan hack. I won't do much at the end of Ramadan, but I'm going to memorize this dua. What do you get if you recite this dua? The Nabi says, if anybody recites this dua during the day, and he's sincere in what he says, and he dies that day before the evening, then he will be from the people of Jannah. Guaranteed Jannah. You recited this dua and you died on that day, you enter Jannah. And if anybody recites it in the evening, with iman, then he's guaranteed he's a person of Jannah. So this is a guaranteed ticket to recite this, and you die on that day or in the evening. So after every fajr and after every maghrib to recite this, and your ticket is inshallah going to Jannah. The Nabi Sallam was a huge fan, was a huge supporter of these shortcuts to Jannah. If you could get to Jannah in the simplest way possible, he encouraged that. Take the easy way to Jannah. And this is very clear in a hadith where we all know, where the Nabi Sallam got up and he went to the masjid to perform fajr, and our mother, his wife Juwayriya, was performing salah. When he came back, the Nabi Sallam, dhuhr time, she was sitting in the exact same spot. She hadn't moved. And the Nabi Sallam was surprised, and he said, have you sat like that since I left? You haven't moved, making dhikr and reciting Quran. And she said, yes, you know, to make it closer to Allah. So the Nabi Sallam smiles to her and he says, you know, I have recited 4 simple words, times 3, did it 3 times when I left you, and it has outweighed all the hours that you've spent in ibadah. The simple dua I have recited, you know, it is more rewarding all these hours you've spent in salah, so in dhikr. What is this dhikr? Subhanallah bi adada khalqihi, praise be to you, Ya Allah, to the extent, to the number of your creations. Wazinata arshihi, and praise be to you, Allah, in accordance with the weight of the arsh of Allah. Wa midada kalimatihi, and praise be to you, Ya Allah, to the extent of the ink it would take, all the ink in the world to write your words. Wa ridha nafsi, and praise to you, Ya Allah, to the extent that you have pleasure with yourself, according to you, your self-pleasure. Whoever recites this 4 times, subhanAllah, in the morning, it is as if though he spent the entire morning, fajr till dhuhr, in ibadah. We also mentioned part of our series on the barzakh, we know that the person who recites Surah Mulk every single day, it becomes his life habit, then he will be protected from the punishment of the qabr, the squeezing of the qabr, the angels punishing a person in the qabr, the darkness of the qabr. Surah Mulk is the best defender for one in the adab of the qabr. Again, Surah Mulk maybe takes us 5-10 minutes to recite. Perhaps every evening before we go to sleep, we should make that niyyah. I'm going to recite Surah Mulk. Not a single night will go by except that I will recite Surah Mulk. So those are all adhkar and du'as and Quranic recitations. Then there are, and we the next section, and not too much left, salah hacks. So part of Ramadan, remember, the Nabi says, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman, all your sins are forgiven. Now, puasa or fasting might be difficult. You know, you're not of those who say they have a beautiful fasting. They are grumpy and, you know, that's... But then for another person, salah is easy. And you can get to Jannah through performing your salah in the evenings. But who can make salah every from Maghrib till Fajr? We can't spend hours and hours in salah. If we're lucky, we come to Taraweeh. And if we're very, very lucky, we get a half an hour, an hour of Tahajjud. But that's basically it. How do I spend the whole night in salah? Don't worry, there are always shortcuts to get things. So one of the ways in the day, you can get the reward of a Hajj and a Umrah every single day. Not just in Ramadan, but especially in Ramadan. What is this deed? The Nabi says, whoever makes Fajr Salah in congregation, so the men, you have to come to the masjid, you can't do it at home. The ladies, of course, you can make Salah at home, no problem. And when it's done, when you finish with Fajr, you remain in the masjid. The men stay in the masjid, the ladies, you stay on the Musalla where you were making Salah, and you just sit there and make dhikr for about an hour and 15 minutes until the sun rises. It's called Ishraq, the sun has fully risen. And then he gets up and he makes 2 raka'ahs sunnah. If he does that, so you spent an hour in salah, an hour in ibadah. What is the reward? The Nabi says, you get the reward of a hajj and a umrah. Taman, taman, taman. He emphasizes complete. The full reward of the haji going to Arafah, subhanAllah. This is every single day. Every single day, this is available for us. The reward of the martyr. So in our series on Qiyamah, the Nabi says, the shaheed, the person who dies fi sabilillah, will be the highest category. The highest category after the Anbiya and the Siddiqs. The Siddiq is a very special category. Very, very few people reach it. Abu Bakr and Maryam, they reach that. They're almost like just one step below the Anbiya. But the next category is the Shuhada, the one who dies fi sabilillah. And the Shaheed, what are the rewards he gets? Number one, all his sins are forgiven. Number two, no punishment in the Qabr. Number three, Qiyamah is made easy. Number four, he will intercede for other people. Number five, in the barzakh, he would not be confined to his qabr. He gets to roam around the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very difficult thing to die as a shaheed, to die fi sabilillah. Well, the Nabi says, whoever makes salatul duha, that's 2 raka'ahs in the morning, between fajr and dhuhr, 2 raka'ahs. And you fast the 3 middle days of the month, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And you make witr every single night, even when traveling. So you combine with these things. You make salatul duha. And you fast the 3 days of the month. And you make witr. then you will be given the status of a shaheed. You will be given a status of the shaheed. Subhanallah, all your sins forgiven, direct ticket to Jannah, no punishment in the qabr, all those things. Just inculcating these three simple daily habits. How does one perform salah the entire night? There's two ways in which you can perform salah the entire night, especially in Ramadan. The first way is, whoever comes and he performs salah with the imams. So the sahaba, remember, they made taraweeh with the Nabi Sallam. Then the Nabi Sallam stopped making taraweeh. And he came back, and so it was ad hoc where he led them in salah. So one of those nights when he came to make salah and taraweeh and he led them, the sahaba were very excited. They said, Ya Rasulullah, make a special salah, man. Let it be the whole night, for example. We don't want it to end. So the Nabi says, no need for that. Whoever makes salah with the imam, and even if it's short, and the imam finishes, you stay in the jama'ah, then Allah writes for you that the whole night you stood in salah. So maybe for those brothers, alhamdulillah, there's a whole debate about 20 and verses 8. Maybe now in the last 10 nights, for the sake of, I want the entire night to be written in salah, stay with the imam. Stay with the imam until he finishes witr and everything. Stay with the jama'ah. That half an hour, 1 hour, the whole night is written for you. The other way of also getting, that's one way. The other way of guaranteeing your salah to be, the whole night to be in salah, is whoever, it's not just in Ramadan, whoever comes to the masjid and makes isha in jama'ah, then half the night is like he stood the whole 6 hours in salah. And whoever makes fajr in jama'ah, the other half of the night. And so, subhanAllah, those who have a habit of coming to the masjid for fajr and isha to the masjid, their whole life was that they will stand before Allah, Ya Allah, I spend every single night in qiyamul layl. 50, 30, 40, 50 years qiyamul layl, subhanAllah, for the whole night. What a great reward. And so these are simple, easy things to do to get, maximize your reward. And then the last point to make is, of course, sadaqah. Sadaqah. So we spoke about du'as and dhikr. We spoke about salah. And now just a sadaqah. And this is why we mention it in Ramadan. Because from a financial perspective, when you put a 1 rand, you want to put it in that investment that will give the maximum reward. Ramadan multiplies, as we said. Allah, any rand you give fi sabilillah, Allah multiplies it as a minimum times 700. The Quran says, as a minimum, Allah gives you 700. But in Ramadan, He multiplies it exponentially. There's no limit to the amount of sadaqah, the amount of reward. That's why those who have zakah, they give it in Ramadan. If you have any charity to give, give it now in the month of Ramadan, especially on a Friday. So now on the Fridays, and maybe, you know, don't delay it because you don't know if you're going to live, but give your sadaqah now in the month of Ramadan. If you have a 1 rand, and that's why the ulama says every single day in Ramadan, give 1 rand, at least 1 rand, because you don't know, it might coincide with Laylatul Qadr. It might coincide with Laylatul Qadr. Sadaqah will prevent sickness. Sadaqah will prevent calamity. The Nabi says, sadaqah removes sin. Sadaqah gets your du'as answered. And a sadaqatul jariyah will continue to benefit you even after you die. So all these things I mentioned, you can only make Ayatul Kursi while you're alive. You can only make Fajr and Isha while you're alive. So these great deeds, they come to an end when you die, except sadaqah. Sadaqah has had one ability to continue to generate your rewards even after you die. So on that note, inshallah, please give as much as we can. May Allah grant us sincerity and accept from us. May we inculcate one or two of these things in our life, and may Allah accept from us. Shukran so much for your patience. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi salam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.